Na 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 na. It's The Joint, also known as Peter Joint, and you're listening to The Sens Columns.
Trade Center Edition.
Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to episode 19, the Trade Center edition of the Sens call-ups for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013. Trade deadline was a bit of a dud as most of the big deals happened in the days leading up to it, but some teams seemed to be really loading up for a cup run. Sens Army had to say goodbye to Ben Bishop, and we're now hoping to like the new Corey C a lot more than the last one we had here. Boys, today was pretty boring up until 2 p.m., but it got interesting after that. What are your first thoughts on Conacher?
Gotta admit, I was initially kind of upset when I heard the news. Now, I'll admit, I don't know Conacher. Don't follow him. So, you know.
Well, we do now.
We do now. But I was thinking, what, this little left wing guy for a proven goaltender? I was pretty upset to begin with. But as the days wore on, okay, I think it's kind of like that tourist thing all over again. I was really upset. What? We got rid of Rundblad? And then as you started calming down and you think about it, and of course we see now it turned out to be a good trade. So I'm optimistic now. Initially upset, but I've swung around.
Okay. Pan?
Yeah, I guess I probably kind of overvalued Bishop a bit, because we were looking at the Curtis Glenn cross, and you and I had several discussions over the week. But kind of looking at it, because all that they were looking for was a second rounder and a prospect.
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what came out a couple of times that they were looking for.
But I think with Corey Conacher, you know what his potential is. And he's, what, 23 years old? Granted, yeah. It's his first year in the league and being a smaller guy. So we're not going to get one of those big bodies.
I know you love the big bodies.
I know.
I do like the fact he's young. And he's young. He fits in with the whole young team. So
yeah. You have a now chance to mold him. He's a leading scorer on a team that was very defensive. So maybe with a faster team, that might look a little bit better. 24 points in 35 games doesn't seem that bad. So would you take him or a second round pick?
Oh, I'd take him. I wanted a roster player. I certainly didn't want just a pick.
A roster player too. A lot of people just wanted a second or better.
I'd say a second, and he's the better part. You know, second plus. Mm-hmm. I think we did better with this trade than some of the other ones that have been going on. I admit I don't know a whole lot about him. My initial reaction was probably a bit more negative than what you just described, because I don't know much about him. I was going, okay, he's small, he's young, he's played in the league for a year. I don't really know much about him, but maybe I was setting my sights a little bit too high, but I was hoping for a roster player, maybe a bit more established. I didn't want somebody, in their early to mid 30s. I wanted somebody who was going to be a building block, but maybe I was setting my sights a little too high. He does have 24 points this year, but 12 of them came in the first 7 games. And he was playing with Stamkos and or Saint Louis at the time. So, you know, the numbers are a little skewed, but he did have, during the lockout, he was actually playing in the AHL and he had 28 points in 36 games. 12 goals, 16 assists.
I think maybe
third line might be a good fit, and especially if you see him playing with a center like either Spezza or Turris.
Well, actually, on the Team 1200 this afternoon, Brian Murray said he's looking to slot him in on left wing.
Yeah,
with Silverberg and Zibanejad.
Wow.
Which complicates things in at least a little bit, because when Spezza comes back, that line can't continue to exist.
Well, we got it gives us options right now.
Well, it does, for now, for sure. I seem to always think in the future, but we can talk more about Conacher later on. Like I got some other info which is kind of interesting.
We gotta do this in order, right?
Well, yeah.
I forgot.
Oh, what? Oh yeah, we got structure? What?
Jeez. Well, game on.
First game we're going to cover would be Thursday, March 28th, which was the Rangers visiting the Senators. Canuck, you're up for this one.
Yeah. Canuck and I had a Corey Kluson moment here.
Yeah. So I think Cardinal...
Too many men on the ice?
You were busy.
No, very poor communication.
Pam was busy. I was painting. So I think for a recap, we won!
Well, that's a good recap.
3-0 shutout by who was that goalie? Some, I don't know, Bishop or somebody. I don't know. Some has been.
Easy. I think it was Yanni Hermey. I can't remember.
All right, we got so three. They got none.
Yeah, that's all we need to know. Next game. Next game was Saturday, March 30th, which would.
I didn't want to talk about this.
Oh, do you want to talk about that game?
I don't want to talk about this game.
That was the Leafs at the Senators. Well, I was busy that night. I couldn't take notes, and you guys don't want to talk about this
game. I'm not doing notes.
You don't want to do notes? I don't want to do notes either. Let's get a listener to do notes. Let them do the summary.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is CB Inc. reporting deep behind enemy lines south of the 401 with a game recap of last Saturday night's game. I figured the Collops might not want to do this one, so I watched the game with my brother-in-law, Leaf Fan, who claims that if I stab him, he would bleed blue. I might take him up on that one. First of all, he's shocked at how well the Sens are doing considering all the injuries. He's also envious of our power play. The game was in Ottawa and anticipation was high. Bishop was in net. Reimer was in net. Tony, my brother-in-law, hates the third jersey. And when the camera panned over the Sens bench, he wondered if the Sens mothers know if their sons are playing with the big boys. Toronto scored on an Alfredson penalty, and then Tony informs me that Lupul is hot. Greiba got a penalty. No comment from the Tony. Although Phaneuf got a good shot on Bishop, and as Tony said, nice save. Bit of a fight with Cassian and Colton Orr. Didn't see that one coming. O'Brien hit the crossbar on a Toronto power play, though. Then there was a nice fight between Cassian and McLaren, and no visors were involved. Ottawa then had a goal waved off. Tony informs me about how annoying the announcers are. Even the Leaf fans don't like the announcers. Despite the score, I think it was pretty even for the first. In the second period, then the second goal on Bishop, I don't think he had much of a chance on that one. Shortly after that, though, Condra hit the post. 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in the second, and Tony seems to be losing interest in the game. Latrondes got a breakaway shorthanded, but no goal. End of the second, 2-0. In the third, a turnover leads to a third goal. I put the blame on Gonchar for that one, although the announcers were saying it was Silverberg's fault. Kadri then gets the hat trick, making it 4-0. That was pretty much the end of the game for me. I think the third was pretty sloppy by Ottawa. Then I had to watch all those wonderful promos about how great Reimer is. I wonder if you had to watch him out there. And watching Toronto play is just some of the crap that I have to put up with. And no surprise here, but all three stars went to the Maple Leafs. Anyway, it's been great. I hope to talk to you guys later.
I'm so glad somebody took notes.
That was awesome.
That was great.
Yeah. The only thing that I'll argue with you there, CB Inc., that Alfredson penalty, whoever the Leafer was, grabbed his stick, wrapped it around his body, and then fell. It was unbelievable.
Nice.
I couldn't believe that.
Well, it sounds like I didn't miss much of a game then, so I'm not too worried
about
that.
Talk about worst possible scenario. Friggin' Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. The whole
long weekend.
Long weekend. Take back the bank. There was so much blue pond scum in that arena, too.
It was
and
awful.
The whole friggin' time, this is our house. And of course, you can't really come back to them when you're down 3-0 and down 4-0. I think you had the same experience too. By the time you get to your car, you can still hear them screaming, go Leafs, go. And this is our house. And it's just the walk of shame.
It's an embarrassment.
The walk of shame. Embarrassment is right.
It was an absolute. It's not the first time. You know what? Last year, I think it was New Year's Day, Ottawa lost, I think it was something like 7-1. It was to the Leafs. So again, long weekend, national broadcast, and you just shit the bed. It's
well, I blame Senators fans. They're not buying the tickets, or they're selling their tickets. They're staying away. They don't want to be there. If there were 5,000 more Senators fans there, that wouldn't be happening.
Well, they jacked the prices up.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you this now, though. I don't think I want to go back to these.
No, I don't. I know I have, but the problem is there's so many people thinking like that. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming myself, but it's become so bad. Nobody wants to be there. But if 5,000 Sens fans decided to be there, then this wouldn't be happening.
Because you pay three times the price to see that kind of crap.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's something the Senators need to look at. You keep jacking up these game prices, or the price for these games. This is what happens. Your own fans stay away. You have visitor fans taking over our building. And this is the experience that it generates.
And this is what we got to look forward to now in the following seasons ahead with the new realignment of playing up through your divisions.
Yep. Yeah, imagine a playoff series like that. Won't that be exciting?
It will. I mean, at least for the playoffs, more Ottawa fans will come out. But don't kid yourself. It's not going
to
be.
It's when you're getting shelled. Because the game that we went to, all three of us, that was fun.
That was fun. It was an exciting game.
Well, you just get absolutely dominated.
Oh, yeah, there's no fun involved in that at
all. Come on. Now, you know what? If you don't want, and this is on Melnick, if you don't want the Leafers there and you want to take back the bank, whatever that ticket exchange system is, and because you use capital tickets, it's your own thing, suppress it for those games.
And stop throwing gasoline on the fire.
Just don't make it available on that.
Yeah, all good ideas. Anyway. I don't want to talk about this game anymore. Let's go on to something else.
I just want to go cut myself now.
Let's no.
Not really.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
It makes it feel better, though. I recommend it.
Next game was the Sens of the Bruins, which was this past Tuesday night.
Yeah, this would cheer us up.
Well, a little bit. Maybe, sort of, but not really.
I felt great for about 30 seconds there.
Yeah, the early part of the game. Well, yeah, exactly. Good news was that Cowan, McCulloch, and Anderson are all on the road trip. So none of them are actually cleared to play yet, but they're all on the road trip, which, as far as Cowan and 9mm, I'm really surprised that they're actually so far along in their rehab that they're actually out with the team and they're practicing.
Well, I think the other thing around that is because the Women's World Championships in town, they're not able to use a ice to practice.
Well, they practice at the Sensplex.
I think Senseplex is being used by other teams, though.
Oh, for other teams that are practicing. Okay, good point. I hadn't thought of that.
So they're just like, well, let's just bring these guys along with us.
Road trip. Well.
Yeah. It's not like there aren't empty seats on the plane, so take them along.
You just see the three of them just getting bombed on the plane and getting...
This is our house. This is our plane.
We don't have to play. Yeah, have some fun with that. Anyway, Sens of Bruins.
Three bitches.
Nice. All right, Sens of Bruins. Game started off pretty well with just under 3 minutes in. Greening gets a dirty goal with a big scramble. There we go. It's a dirty goal with a big scramble in the front of the game, in front of the net, with an assist to Zach Smith. And he's now on, by the way, with this goal, he's at exactly the same scoring pace as he was last year. So everyone's saying, oh, Greening's having a bad season. Exactly the same pace as last year. Unfortunately, 40 seconds later, Bruins tied up 1-1 after Chara's shot changes direction and Krejci gets it up and over Lehner. So tied at 1-1. And then a minute after that, Sagan scores, and it's 2-1, which was basic. Yeah. It was almost an empty net goal as Leonard stayed with his post a little bit too long and left it practically completely open for Sagan to score. So,
I totally blame Canuck on all of this.
Why was he in the can? Was Canuck
remember
in the can?
You switched feeds?
Oh.
No. It was the game wasn't on the regular sports, and I was on Sportsnet Sens. And for some reason, I don't have Sportsnet Sens. I could call to order it, but yeah, right. So I flipped on Game Center and was watching it. And of course, I started off in the Boston feed. And actually, I was a little disappointed that Rene Rancor only did 2 fist pumps. I was really hoping for 3. So I got to see him. And I started off watching the Boston feed. It's NESN. And you even said to me, like, oh, you're going to hate it. And
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
A couple minutes in, I hated it, and I switched to the Ottawa feed, and then Ottawa scored, and I was like, oh, yeah, right. But I hung on to the feed and for too long, I guess. I went to the well too much.
Then things fell apart. Well, later on in the period, Boston had a goal waved off because Bergeron was actually between Leonard and the rest of the goal. There wasn't too much protest on that when they kind of knew what was going on. 12 minutes into the period, the shots are already 14-11. And by the end of the period, the shots were Bruins 21, Senators 19. I've seen shot totals like that in either an OHL game or in NHL 13. But I've never seen them like that high in an NHL game before. At least not that I can remember. Second period, it calmed down into much more of a standard Ottawa-Boston game. There was a lot of skating. There was not too much really going on in terms of, particularly ugly play. O'Brien took a hooking penalty on Chara. How do you hook Chara, by the way? That's just impossible. So why even bother to try?
Leave your feet, don't you?
Well, what do you... Yeah, you need a big hook is what you need.
I think it's just high sticking on anyone else.
Yeah. Silverberg turned out the Jets to catch up to Elfie for a 2-on-1 shorthanded and rang one off the iron, but no goal, unfortunately. There were some penalties and some chances, pressure from both sides, but no goals in the period. After the second period, the shots were 33-32 for the Bruins. That's usually a high score, a high one for the end of the game, but no, that's only after 2 periods. Third period, a couple of really outstanding saves from Leonard to open the period with Boston really came out flying, and Leonard really put the pressure, took the pressure and kept everything out. Benoit hit the crossbar from about 50 feet out, was waved off, play continued, but after the whistle, it was reviewed, and it was a goal. So we're tied at 2.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Nobody saw it.
Never get those calls, eh?
Yeah. It's like, but wow, nobody gift. Saw it. It's being a goal. Yeah.
And what's even funny is that it was Benoit, right?
Or yep. We, yep.
Yeah, like usually the shooter will see it, and he'll be kind of the lone person to score, or sorry, to celebrate, but even he didn't celebrate. Everybody just kept going on.
I think it was just the bounce that it had off the camera.
Yeah.
That he figured that it hit the post.
A lot of people thought it was off the post or off the crossbar because it was so quick. But
yeah.
Kind of like Alfie's goal a couple of weeks ago, but from a different angle.
It's strangely ironic because obviously they went to the war room back in Toronto and a gift.
Yeah, wow. Who knew? Bizarre. Good pressure through the second period by the Senators, but Silverberg seemed to be a bit snake bitten in this game. You know, he was getting chances, but just couldn't finish anything. Whatever. He was trying. No
He's
question.
He's Swedish, but not Finnish.
Oh, where's that from? Thank you. just around the 10-minute mark, Lucic took a shot.
Like, hey, Canuck, slap yourself in the face.
Yeah, please. Exactly. About 10 minutes into the game, end of the period, Lucic takes a shot. Leonard makes a save, but Horton gets the rebound, pots the goal. It's 3-2. And from then on, the Senators were trying desperately to retie the game. About 3.5 minutes left, Greening got a redirect that just grazed the outside of the post after getting past Hudobin, but that was as close as they got. Silverberg had a rebound go off his skates when he was trying to get to it with his stick, which was another good chance. Nothing going there. And Gonchar had a good one in the last minute, had a good chance behind the net where he circled behind the net, got a chance on the open side, took a whack at the puck, missed, and then Hudobin got the puck, and that was it.
Are we really surprised that we lost by one goal to these guys?
No, not really. But it's the 13th win in 14 games against the Senators for the Bruins. It's another one-goal game. The final shots, 50 to 47.
Wow.
97 shots on goal.
It's like a basketball game.
Yeah.
And exactly. Still we were under on the over-under because it's now five goals, right?
Exactly.
Jeez.
Yeah, unbelievable. 12 shots by Tyler Seguin alone.
Jeez, 12.
Yeah, really? Zero by Kyle Turris.
Mm.
Not one. Anyway, so that's the end of that game. That's all we want to talk about that game. I think we've hashed it to death.
No, we're done. That was pretty good.
Not bad. However, just to before we go any further, thank you, CB Inc., for that very well done game summary. And if other listeners would like to do that, we're all for it because it means we don't have to be completely honest. If you'd like to do a game summary, we'd really appreciate it. And we'd really appreciate it if you let us know before the game. You know, drop us an email and say, yeah, okay, this game on this day, I'll do the game summary for you. And, you know, record it. You can record it however you like and send it to us. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
A couple easy ways too. Audacity is a pretty easy way, especially if you have a microphone.
Yeah.
You can probably just do it with your computer mic anyway, but
sure.
Just a headset or something like that works out quite easy. And I think you can convert it fairly. I don't know how I just get connected.
Yeah, if you're stuck for ideas, just email us and I'll give you some tips.
There you go. So if you want to do one, we're all for it. Just let us know ahead of time because that means we can actually watch a game without having to take notes through the whole thing. So we can do a recap. And we'd certainly appreciate it.
Russell, that's you too.
Yeah, Russell, do one, show us how it's done and make us look really bad. We'll be okay with that. Late last week, news came out that Spezza had a setback in his recovery. I haven't seen a whole lot about that. Have you guys? That's pretty much all I've seen.
I think today they said he was feeling better.
I think what Murray said, though, it wasn't a setback. It's just that it's taken longer.
Okay.
So the healing isn't going as scheduled, but it's not like he aggravated himself.
Okay. So it's just that the healing process isn't as fast. That's good. Okay. I hadn't heard that. Out of everything that was going on today, I hadn't heard that bit. So that's good. I'm happy to hear that.
Colonel, you spelled Cowan wrong.
Did I?
Yeah. Oh, don't
I do that
there.
A lot. No, it's something I'll actually admit to. I always spell Cowan with an A because I went to school with...
Because you don't want...
I can remember that one. Can I? No, I do it spelled with an A all the time. Anyway, so Cowan and McCulloch and Anderson are all on the road trip. Anderson is available to play, according to Murray today. He said it's up to Paul McLean to decide whether he wants him to play. So, but he's ready.
Okay,
he's
fans. Been practicing.
Well, guess what? You're ready now.
Don't jump on this guy if he has a bad game coming back.
No, don't jump on him. I mean, I'm not setting him up on a pedestal or anything, but, you know, lots of people had worries about him when he was coming back from... he didn't play through the lockout and he was ready to start the season. There was a lot of people saying, oh, no, not Anderson. You know, Leonard's been playing. Bishop's been playing. We don't want Anderson in there yet. He's not ready.
And look what happened.
he played pretty well in the early season. So I'm not worried about it if he goes in. If he doesn't, you know, that's the coach's decision. The coach knows what's best for the team, I would think. Silverberg has been playing really well. I know he had a good game against the Bruins, just couldn't put anything in the net. But I thought he's still continues to play quite well.
I actually like the play of Zibanejad as well. I thought he's really working hard.
They seem to be playing really well together, those two.
Yeah, you really didn't read this. Slifferberg.
Okay, so we're going to get on my note-taking now?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Okay. I'll remember that. Be careful.
I'm just bugging you.
Be careful.
I know, don't make fun of anyone that's bigger than you.
Oh, no, that's not where I was going at all. We can get back to Corey Conacher now, since we're talking about other players. This is his first year in the NHL, but last year, we didn't talk about this earlier, last year in the AHL, he was playing for the Norfolk Admirals, which, by the way, Craig Anderson played there for 4 years. He had 80 points in 75 games. He was the AHL regular season MVP. And okay. that's only
So for our listeners that were living on a rock, what exactly was the trade again?
Oh, sorry. Bishop for Corey.
So those
Conacher.
Who just kind of skipped forward for the first 5 minutes?
Yeah. Skip the game summaries. Yeah. Ben Bishop for Corey Conacher and a fourth round pick. You set me up just so you could play a sound effect again. All right. Fair enough.
That's pretty much all I do anyways. I push buttons.
Snappy. That's it.
Yeah.
So he was the AHL regular season MVP last year, and that as a rookie in the AHL, as well as being the, and that's only the fourth time that's happened since 1948 that a rookie has won the AHL regular season MVP. And he was also the AHL rookie of the year.
Well, I guess most of the time, the outstanding rookies, they just get moved up to the NHL right away, right?
You'd think, yeah. I mean, so, if they're doing that well.
Guess the other thing here, because we're worried about his amount of experience, because he's got 35 NHL games. Mm-hmm. Just look this up now. Ben Bishop's got 36.
Yes, but how many AHL games does each of them have? I'd say Bishop probably has several hundred. And Conacher would have 75.
41.
About 110. And he did play 3 years in college, but the difference between college and AHL is pretty big.
We right. did also, try to get Conacher on.
Instead of 25, yeah. right?
What's that?
Bishop's what, 25? It's different with goalies, right? You can't really measure that by games played.
Yeah.
But it's not that he was a seasoned veteran or anything else like that. Does he have upswing? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. But, well, I mean, Conacher won the Calder Cup in Norfolk last year. Like nice. They won it. Yeah. And he had 15 points in 18 playoff games. And then the reason he was playing in Syracuse this year or this season during the lockout is because for some, get this, Tampa Bay moved their AHL affiliation from Norfolk to Syracuse right after Norfolk won the Calder Cup.
Yeah.
Isn't that bizarre?
Very.
I thought that was just the strangest thing I'd ever heard. Like literally days afterwards. Nope. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
We did try to get Conacher on tonight for an interview, but apparently he's busy traveling to Boston or something.
Oh, well.
You know.
Oh, well.
15 retweets really didn't
get him. Thanks, Sens Army.
We tried.
I tweeted out a couple folks from, from different places, one including a Tampa Bay fan, and just kind of asked them, what's your reaction? And Davey from Tampa Bay, his reaction was bummed. He was a fan favorite. We like our little dudes. He's up for rookie of the year, but we needed a goalie. So, from Tampa Bay perspective, they're disappointed that they're losing this guy. So, I know we don't know a lot about him maybe yet. At least I don't, but.
I don't think they know a lot about Ben Bishop either.
They're in the same boat as us. Yeah.
I think, exactly. We don't know much about the player coming to us, and they don't know much about Ben Bishop. And I did a quick search on Twitter just with Conacher as a name to see what was coming up. And there were a lot of people who were quite upset about this trade and feeling that they were getting hosed, that, they were losing this wicked player for some other goalie, like they need another goalie. Have you looked at how good he is compared to what you have in net now? But it's what you know versus what you don't, I guess. Sorry, Ben, go ahead. I just interrupted you.
Yeah, there. It's just this one thing that I noticed is on Twitter, a lot of people kept, they just kind of turned on Bishop right away. He's commenting on his five hole and all of this stuff. And
I think it's like, human nature.
I don't know. I like to be a little bit more realistic. It's like, Kadri and all of that, he played an incredible game against Ottawa. You got to give him credit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and that's something that really attracted me to the Underground when I started listening, is that they seem to be like, there's some bias, but they're a lot more realistic. So it's when you're just saying your team is the best, and well, we've talked about that first, but we really, really liked Bishop.
Yeah.
And you're just going to turn on him. And even
What actually?
Tampa's defense is a disaster. But
I do not like the fact that we've traded him to starting next year. It's a divisional rival.
This has
the bite you in the butt scenario all over it, right?
Yeah, big time.
Well, all through the morning, there were a number of different mainstream media people who were tweeting what they had as insider information about who had been talking to the Senators about Ben Bishop. And it was mostly Eastern teams, no big surprise. But, I mean, we don't know what other offers were out there. So the one that I've seen laid out was from Pierre LeBrun on Twitter earlier this afternoon, where he said that the Flyers offered Ronaldo in a second a couple of weeks ago. And the Senators...
Ronaldo?
Said, yeah.
Isn't he a soccer player?
No, he's the weasel.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
And the Senators asked for Couturier instead. And that
Could
deal.
You imagine?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Yes.
Well, I would have taken Couturier.
Oh, yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, he's not having the same season as last year, but for sure. I'd have taken
67 guy. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been just incredible. Granted, he's I think he plays a wing sometimes, though, eh?
Couturier is not a former 67. That's Logan Couture. Not Couture.
No, sorry. You're right.
Actually, you know what? That's probably why we took Conacher instead, because when you play against Bishop, we can just kind of fit Conacher in the five hole.
But that would fill it.
Just pass it to him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
What we're really hoping is that Conacher is like Theo Fleury 2.0. That kind of player, or St. Louis 2.0 in his early career.
I've seen a couple of people compare him to Brendan Gallagher from Montreal. Smaller player, feisty, not afraid to get in front of the net. And basically you knock him down and you don't even notice it a nanosecond later because he's already back up. He did have something like 114 penalty minutes last year.
I don't think he's very well liked in Binghamton. Is that now... the Syracuse connection or what?
Yeah, I would say so. Syracuse is the arch enemy.
Yeah.
And he was playing there at the beginning of the season. And I mean, Norfolk is a team that Binghamton plays quite a bit as well, from what I can recall. So they would remember him from last year, but also the beginning of this year with Syracuse, because Binghamton and Syracuse are neck and neck right now for top of the division as well as top of the conference.
Yep.
So we'll see. I'm not nearly as I was initially quite negative, and now I'm neutral hopeful that this works out well. I'll give him till the end of the season and see what he can do, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some risk on it. Not knowing anything about this kid, I still don't know anything about him.
Yeah, what's funny about today is I had a message from Matt. Our famous Matt, who enjoys his Big Macs. Sorry. And he messaged me, "Do you think anything's going to happen today?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think so. I don't think Bishop is moving." He's like, "Yeah, me neither." About an hour later,
everything's changed.
Jeez. So there you go. What do we know?
Yeah, and that one really opened up the floodgates too, eh?
Yeah, that's pretty much when it started.
Mm-hmm.
So that really makes me wonder. When they're saying six teams in, because you know that Philly and Columbus had that side deal ready.
Yeah.
Because if Philly couldn't get him, then they just went and got Mason. I don't know. That's Columbus, right?
Well, Columbus also made the deal for Gaborik, so who knows what was going on.
You know, I wonder what the underground, the former folks thought about trading with Columbus. Wonder, maybe we can pull up some of their thoughts that they said before.
I do know one thing. Stay the hell away from Columbus. Don't take anything they are selling. Nothing.
They're the plague.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That was referring to Pascal Leclerc, though. That wasn't, I mean, we kind of did do to get a deal with Columbus, and I don't know. I think it's worked out pretty well.
My thought.
For Foligno?
Yeah.
All day, every day, twice on the weekends. Absolutely. Yeah.
Not only that, even robbery. In the Leclerc trade, we got the pick for Leonard.
We got, yeah, exactly. We got to pick Verlaine as
well. So you got Vermette, and we got Leclerc, who, barring injury, was one of the most talented goalies we've ever had for those 15 games that he played, and our future number one. And actually, you know what? That's another thing. Now we know what the direction is for goaltending.
And as long as Leonard and Anderson can get along as well as Schneider and Luongo,
lock and load.
You know, lock and load. That's great. And if they can, because I think that I don't think Leonard, I personally don't think Leonard is ready to be a starting goaltender in the NHL.
I think he just wants to be with the big club. And yeah, he's probably okay being second fiddle for now. So,
and it's easier for two goalies to be working with Rick Walmsley than three.
We got a big IKEA here, Robin. You can shop, feel at home. Apparently, Mika feels at home shopping there. I know I was in there the other day and I got lost. And
it's because you saw the tweet and ran away. So I got to go see Mika. I got a sound clip.
I couldn't find him.
I know.
I could barely find my way out
in that store.
Someone told me to follow the smell of the meatballs.
But the restaurant's halfway through. It's not at the end.
Yeah, well, I followed the smell of the meatballs. I ended up in some horse stable, and I couldn't figure it out. But anyway.
Yeah, but what's it? I still see the goaltending now with the two of them. We've got 2 years with Anderson left.
Yeah, it's steadier.
Very, very similar, and barring any political affiliations, very close to Tim Thomas, Tuukka Rask.
No, and
why don't you
okay
go there?
I'm okay with that. Let's move on.
Any other trades?
You had a bunch of trades, but just before, we'll go on to the trades for the rest of the league in just a second. The one thing I wanted to bring up, because since we're still talking about the Senators, kind of, Cody Ceci, first round draft pick last year. No. Yeah, last year. Had 5 assists in the first round of the playoffs in the OHL, and Owen Sound has moved on to the next round. So he's still playing. So 5 assists in 6 games.
Actually, we talked about him a little bit last week.
Yeah.
Because someone else on Twitter was mentioning that he should be in bingo next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, or at least Colonel, because you follow the juniors more than us.
Well, Catherine Jean was clearing up whether he's old enough to go.
Yeah, he can NHL. Stay as an overager.
Yeah, he can play as an overager next year, but he doesn't have to. He can certainly go
but
to Binghamton.
If you put him in the AHL, that's going to start his entry level.
Yes. But I
would you do it.
Yep.
Yes, I would.
Oh, yeah.
I would. Okay. Yeah. Well, we saw him a little bit when we went to the open practices
right
as the lockout ended, and yeah. I mean, I was there a couple of times, and he's not ready to play in the NHL. I don't think so. I mean, my opinion is not worth much, but I don't think he's ready to play in the NHL, but I think he would do very well down in Binghamton. He has to work on his skating. He needs to work on his defensive skills a little bit. And assuming that Luke Richardson doesn't get poached away as a head coach somewhere else, because he's doing really well in Binghamton, considering how many players he's lost through the season. I think Cody Ceci can learn a lot from Luke Richardson.
Yeah.
So I want to see him in bingo next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Pay Luke. He's worth it.
Yeah. Pay him what it takes.
I don't remember if we talked about this on the show or not last week, but because Richardson's got his daughter going to Ithaca next year. She's there now.
She's there now, yeah. So good. He wants to stay there for a couple of years. So
lock her in
for us.
Yeah. Give her a scholarship.
Go to grad school.
Eugene, pay for it. It's worth it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
How's Ithaca's medical doctor program?
How long can we keep her there?
Yeah.
She wants to do a PhD and postgraduate in something obscure. It's the only, school that
offers it. It doesn't count against cap. So yeah. I think you're okay.
Yeah. All right. It works. Now, all the other trades that have been going on, because there were, I mean, not just today, but there were several big name trades that came up
this week,
in the days coming up to today. I mean, there was the Iginla trade. There was the. Please tell me you're not going to do that every time I say the word trade. I asked.
We're going to get a cease and desist.
Okay, so there were a lot of player movements going on. And
Damn it.
And
trade.
All right.
Okay. Enough of that. There were some really interesting things going on with some of them. With the Aginla trade, I think, was one of the more peculiar ones. Because it was announced that Boston had, you know, the trade was going to Boston. Here's what the trade is going, you know, what's going in either way, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, 2 hours later at, what was it, about 1:30 in the morning?
This is the last night we recorded.
It's Pittsburgh. Oh, that's right. It was a week ago.
We're thinking, man, we just missed the news. We could have talked about it on our last episode. And then you wake up in the morning, oh, Pittsburgh. What?
Well, I'm glad we didn't talk about Boston because we would have looked looked really stupid.
Like half the media.
I was wondering, do you think that there's going to be a bad taste for what's kind of a bad taste left in a couple of GM's mouth for what basically looks like a reneged deal? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't know how far the deal
was. I don't think it was a reneged deal, though. This is just because
prematurely announced then?
Yeah, I think so.
It was leaked wrong.
Well, the GM.
That might have been a miss. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure if it was the GM. It wasn't Shirelli. It was one of the other people in Boston said, well, we actually did have this deal. Like, it was ready. We thought it had been agreed on, and then suddenly it wasn't agreed on anymore.
I think probably Calgary and Boston agreed to it, to the terms. And Aginla probably came back and said, well, let's go look at Pittsburgh. That's two things that could happen.
Because he had a no-trade clause, right?
Would have been it. Or Feaster created a false market.
Maybe. It just seemed weird to me. Really weird. But, and
that's
what
happens with a no trade, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Flipping if Pittsburgh. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. They're just picking up everyone.
Yeah. Well, so, well, yeah, Boston is too, but there were several trades made with Calgary that just seemed to be for, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but for very little.
I really think so. I think they gave away Aginla.
Or Bomeister.
Yeah.
Like a conditional first round pick. But if Boston goes far, it's, you know, it's a really late first round pick. So I don't know how Jay Feaster is justifying this.
They did not improve their goaltending.
They didn't improve anything. I don't even think they improved their outlook.
They just did something. It's like those fans go, do something. Yeah.
Okay.
Me today.
yeah.
But it's like these are just all subpar prospects.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through the email I got?
If you want, sure.
Which email? We got a lot.
It's in regards to Calgary. So,
Brian
sent this. Our friend out in Cowtown. That's Cowtown, right? Yeah, Cowtown. Anyways, so I asked her just for her point of view, and here we go. So, howdy. She's from Calgary, of course. The mood in Calgary is as disorganized as the franchise itself. The rebuild was long overdue, and people here are well aware of that. Unfortunately for Flames fans, Jay Feaster is their GM, and they're buckling it up for what is likely to be a very lengthy rebuild. People are happy to see Aginla move on and chase the cup while simultaneously hating life because he's no longer a member of the Flames. People are also happy to see Jay Bomeister go, if only because they see him as a walking, talking playoff curse. People wish Kiprusoff would have agreed to a trade, but can't hate him because of everything he's done for the team. I've heard mixed emotions about the Como trade, but people are pretty happy that they're stockpiling the draft picks. Here's a problem with having those draft picks, though. Jay Feaster is their GM. And if you know Jay Feaster, he's busy scouting high school games for kids who may be good 10 years down the line. The remarkable thing about the Flames fans is that they seem to know that Feaster is completely useless, but they try to make themselves believe that they make good decisions for them anyway. Some people, however, fully realize the truth. A quote from a friend: in terms of numbers, the Flames have one of the largest management and coaching staffs in the league. I'm not sure I have faith in any one of them. Yikes. For the sake of some of my friends, I hope that Calgary is able to rebuild successfully, even though making jokes about them is so damn fun. Sent from my iPhone.
Well, I wish I could remember the exact terms around a number that I caught the other day after all of this had gone on, which was the last 7 first round picks for Calgary have played under 200 NHL games collectively. And one of them is something like 100 and some odd. So the rest of them have played, well, a lot of them have played basically nothing. Yeah. Their scouting is just brutal, apparently.
I don't understand the scouting system at all. Even this draft, they traded up and picked a guy in their first round they picked a guy that was ranked 45th overall. Just went way off board on it, and it didn't make any sense.
But Winnipeg did that 2 years ago with, I just forgot his name. I was playing for Barrie. They sent Shifley. Like when they picked Shifley 2 years ago.
Board though?
Oh, he was way down. He was in the 30s and 40s. And really? They picked him 7th or 8th or 9th, somewhere in there. Oh yeah, way, way higher than anybody was expecting. And I mean, they did send him back to junior this year, but he's looking to be a solid, solid prospect for them. So,
well, the problem with that is that when Winnipeg actually bought the team, and I find this hilarious, but they didn't buy the computer system from the Thrashers. And they had all the tape. So they basically got, because they canned all the management and brought in their own guys, they had nothing.
Oops.
So, anyways.
There's some hardcore fans there. They're fine.
Yeah.
I don't get Calgary. Like Calgary has some really good fans. I feel bad for them.
Very dedicated fan base, too. Yeah. Small market team.
Mm-hmm.
Very dedicated fan base.
Let's get... Teams can't blow up as well as Brian Murray can.
Well, no. Brian Murray, I don't think anybody's done a 3-year rebuild with the first two going anywhere as well as last year and this year have gone. I don't think it's possible.
Well, you could make an argument for Montreal this season, but the season is kind of weird too. So
you can also argue that last year was an aberration and they shouldn't have been as bad as they were.
That too.
What years did they change though?
They did change
management.
Some, but I mean they changed management. They also got Andre Markov back. You know, that's like getting Erik Karlsson back.
Yeah.
When you don't have him. And I mean, at the time, Subban was younger and not as good on the blue line. And he was a huge part of their power play, as well as just setting up play period from the blue line. And he was basically out for almost a season and a half off and on. So, I mean, that's a big, big piece for them. So they did change some players, but they also changed management and changed coaching. So different system. They did change some players as well. Like Camilleri came in left for Tanguay?
Bork.
No, for Bork. That's right. It was the other one going the other way originally. So, I mean, they did change some players around. They got bigger, and they're playing a different system. So I'd say last year was more of an aberration than them actually being as bad as they looked. Hard to say. Anyway. Hmm. I'd want to go over every single trade that had gone on today because there were quite a number of them. But, can't believe I did that.
Actually, one move that I think we all like, Derek Roy to Vancouver.
The diver joining the Divers?
Let's go to the West Coast. See you later.
Yeah. He's a Sens killer. I know he can play, but I don't know if he was still as much of a diver in the past few years when he was playing for Dallas as he was when he was in Buffalo. But God, he was just 10 from the Russian judge. He was horrible at it.
He's going to be dynamite as a third line center there. Dynamite.
Pominville was traded to Minnesota as well.
Yep.
Oh, get out of go to the West. This is fantastic.
Yeah. For Matt Hackett, who's a goalie, Johan Larson, who I think is a defenseman. And a first and a second.
And what's great about Hackett is now he's going to be playing with Rochester Americans as the AHL affiliate. So now people in Bingo are going to get a chance to do "You Can't Hack It" again.
Oh,
whole Calder Cup run.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's just bad.
Hey, that was the chant during the Calder Cup run.
That's all. I'm sure.
Then Redden and Chera are playing together again.
Yeah, Redden's going. Oh. Now is he going to get a chance to get regular ice time there? I don't know what their blue line's looking like.
I think he's 6-7.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a seventh, maybe even an eighth, spare body kind of guy, more than anything.
Peter Shirley, what are you doing? What are you
doing? Stockpiling old sands.
That's all he's doing.
Well, he's got four now. I'm going to take them all eventually, or try at least.
Hey, this is like when Muckler tried to bring all the Buffalo guys back. Back La Verada.
Or Brian Burke trying to get all the old Ducks.
Yeah.
In Toronto. The one exchange of players that happened earlier today. Gabarick to Columbus for Dorsett, Moore, Derek Brassard, and a 6th-round pick. Now, that's a lot of assets going towards New York.
Yep.
And I was dumbfounded by this trade because I'm going, why would Columbus want to pick up, Gabrick's a talented player, but he's been struggling in New York. They want a goal scorer since they lost Nash. But the trade didn't make a whole lot of sense to me because I thought he had a long contract. He doesn't.
Nope.
Next year is the last year on it.
Well, here's another thing. He signed off on a no trade to go to Columbus.
Yeah. How badly do you have to want to get out of New York?
Torts must have just abused him like nothing.
Well, Columbus is sneaking in there. They're fighting for the last spot, aren't they?
They're doing pretty well, I think. Surprising. I think they're kind of...
Bobrovsky got them in.
Where are they?
Try to look at it.
They're 11th.
Incredible as to how
but
easily...
But they're 1 point out of 8th.
Yeah, the West is really messed up that way.
So it's you know, if they get in, I mean, it means a lot could. For that city. It's kind of one of those things where we just got to get in and make money.
Yep.
Yeah, the 8th spot, I mean, even 8th, and 7th is a spread of 4 points. 7th to 11 is 4 points. It's crazy. Unlike the East where things are getting a little more spread out, but...
Guys, we learned let's not describe spreadsheets on the show.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so move on? Okay.
Sure. On. Crosby.
That was ugly.
Ouch.
He cannot get a center to play with.
he'll be back. They're saying he's out indefinitely, but he'll be back. He'll have to wear a cage. I mean, I feel sorry for the guy, but...
Well, I had a buddy of mine have his jaw broken by a puck about 2 years ago, and it was wired shut for almost 6 weeks. As like wired shut, you're living on yogurt and milkshakes.
Well,
and
that would have been a big problem, especially for an athlete where you need, you know, I'm sure you need lots of protein and stuff, but...
Exactly.
But apparently it's not wired shut, right?
Oh, it's not?
No.
I don't think he is.
Oh.
So he'll be back. He'll be back for the playoffs, yeah. If not before. And I mean, I'm sure the guy's going to be sore. But
take any reverb from that?
What's that? Sorry?
Like as long as there wasn't any vibration into his brain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying so far so good.
Yeah. So come back with a full cage.
Yeah, I really wonder how much his commercial revenue is going to go down, though.
Yeah, he'll wear a plate.
Wheaties. Colgate's out. Trident's out.
Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Did either of you catch clips from Luongo's news conference this afternoon?
No, I just saw the traffic on Twitter.
He actually said, "My contract sucks." That's the problem here.
I feel so bad for the guy making all that money. What a terrible contract.
Yeah. He signed it. You know, dude, you signed your contract.
Well, and I mean, I get that.
Same reason I don't feel any sympathy for Gillis. It's like, you signed it, and now you're wondering why nobody wants to take it. Because it's an albatross. That's why. Luongo's not a bad goalie. He's just got a terrible contract. That's why nobody wants him. And no matter how much you say, well, it'll only be this, this, and this. It's like, no, not happening.
You have to buy him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only way they could get Luongo to somebody to accept that trade is if they send one, possibly two roster players with him. Quality roster players, not fourth liners.
Well, the other thing that I heard today on TV was it's basically just like, no, I'll take Luongo and you'll get a conditional pick or something like that.
I don't even think that's enough. I think they have to sell him. Like, they have to sweeten it even more. But
you know what? But now you don't want to lose more pieces.
Oh, no.
You have to buy him out or you suck it up and you move Schneider.
Yep. Which still could happen if they decide they don't want to suck it up. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this one. If they use one of the amnesty buyouts,
yep,
it doesn't count against the cap, but correct, they still have to pay it over a long period of time.
I don't know how the payment is, but Vancouver's got enough cash that they can do it.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's just his contract ends in 2022.
So you're still in it for the Luongo haul.
Yeah. I don't know what you've been eating today.
It's like you're doing your own show.
I'll tell you what I'm eating. I'm eating them right now. It's a happy belated Easter, folks. It's these Cadbury mini eggs. They got you sugar high here.
Oh, yeah. So that's why you're buzzing. All right. Well, okay, then let's use your buzzing for something useful. We have another guest interview tonight. And Canuck, why don't you set this one up since you're the one who set up the interview?
Well, as Luongo is a product of his placement, yes, we have an interview from Peter Joint. And Peter Joint is the gentleman who recorded the Cap City song, and you've seen his videos on Scotiabank Place. So without further ado, let's bring him on. Double T where the taxpayers' dollar stretch as far as you can see. You can feel it in the atmosphere, and I've been rhyming about that for the last 10 years. Cap City so green, so small. We're crossing over rivers, make the drink an age born. It's about bridging gaps, popping dead bottle caps, watching kids up in a bridge. On the line today, we have a very special guest. We have Peter Joint. And welcome, Peter.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, thank you for joining. So, Peter, I first learned about you, I guess, probably with a lot of people, as a result of the Cap City single from a couple of years ago. And that video went viral. And for a lot of reasons, I think, first of all, there's not a lot of songs about the city of Ottawa. And in the video itself, along with the music, it was a really neat showcase of the city. And I guess kudos that you're wearing a Sens shirt on that video. So
yes, indeed.
That's how I first learned about you, and it didn't seem to take too long after that the Cap City video. I saw that actually being played at Ottawa Senators games on the big screen at Scotiabank Place, and then I think later that year we got to the playoffs, and you had your playoffs remix of that. And by the way, it's nice to see that you upgraded from the we nicknamed that black SENS shirt as the SNES logo, and you went up to the Heritage logo. So good move there.
Right on.
And I mean, and fast forward to this season, and I've seen all kinds of stuff. You know, the Ready for More video that seems to get played at every game now. I've seen you in some Ottawa tourism videos. Product My Placement, and I'm sure you got a whole bunch of other stuff. So what can you tell us about yourself, and I guess how'd you get into rap?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you for keeping such a close eye on my music. You're bang on with all that stuff. And yeah, I sort of didn't end up on anyone's radar until I came out with the song Cap City, and I was put on the front page of the newspaper, which is pretty cool, and got a call from the Sens asking if I would do, or if I could, but they could show the video at games, and then asked if I'd be willing to do a Sens version. And of course, being a huge Sens fan, I jumped on it, and I was incredibly surprised that they called me and asked me to do a new song for this season. And the product, of course, is Ready for More to go along with their tag their tagline this season. So yeah, it's been super exciting, and it's great that the Sens are interested in my tunes and kind of support local music. And I'm a big fan of the city and of the hockey club, so it all seemed to work out well and just keeps rolling along.
That is very cool. Now, Peter, were you born here in Ottawa?
Yes, indeed. Yep, born and raised, and I'm 33 years old and still kicking it in good old Ottawa.
Still a young pup. There you go.
Oh, let me tell you, it does not always feel that way.
And you got married this past year, right?
I did. Yeah, and I just to speak about my music and stuff, I proposed to my wife through a song, and I actually performed the song live at our wedding, and there was not a dry eye in the house, including my own. So it was a pretty emotional experience, and yeah, trying to sprinkle my music wherever I go, it seems.
That's awesome. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
That's pretty great. Now, you were also filming some of the videos we saw this year at Scotiabank Place. Now, how did that go? And tell us a little bit about that experience. Especially with, yeah, I think you probably also recorded it during a game time, because it seems like a lot of the stands are filled too.
Yeah, exactly. So the goal each time is to kind of get the fan feeling of being at the game and kind of the excitement of being at the game. So we were told to do a lot of filming in the concourse, and so it's all always fun to kind of set up a video shoot, but then there's all these people that crowd around and all sorts of people try to get in the shot. And so the final product is kind of scenes where not too many people jumped up in front of the camera. So yeah, it's always a bit of a challenge, but super fun nonetheless. And I worked with one of the Sens camera guys, and this guy right off the bat was asking me how high my threshold for embarrassment was, because we were bound to get a lot of people staring and kind of wondering what's going on. So yeah, cool. So the video was super fun to film. We shot it during the first home game of the season, and I produced it myself because I enjoy that sort of creative control, and what you see is the final version, which yeah, they seem to be playing at all the games, which is a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So you're kind of like your own little Canuck with the writer, editor, producer, director.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on that one, eh?
Jack of all trades.
There you go.
Now there's been a rumor out there that that you won a car from the Tim Hortons Roll Up the Rim contest. Is that in fact true?
This is in fact true. Last year at about this time, I rolled up the rim on a medium coffee, and it said, "You win a Camry." So,
nice.
Yeah, totally insane. And actually, this year it's been kind of a boring roll up season compared to last year. And if you wouldn't believe all the comments, like, it's so do win another car, and with the odds being like
kind of high, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I have a feeling I've kind of used up my luck in that department.
Yeah, I celebrate a coffee. I celebrate coffee or a donut, so you've certainly outdone me on that one.
I went fair one enough. For 31 this year, and that was just
wow.
A free coffee. So.
That, boy, so. that is not a good ratio. I think I was like 6 for 35.
Whoa.
So not bad.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Now, is there any neat stories? Like when you went to finish your coffee, did you almost throw it out and then like, oh, I should check? Or
yeah, no. Well, sort of the neatest thing was that I got two coffees the exact same, one for me and one for my manager at work, and kind of came back to work and kind of been shuffling the two around and finally put one on his desk, and I kept one, and at the end of the day rolled up and kind of yelled out at work, like, "Oh my God, I want a car!" And then people at work went crazy. They started swarming, and everyone was like taking photos and calling loved ones, being like, "It is right in front of me. I can't believe it." And like totally freaking out because it's typical Canadian. And so lots of people were all over it. And then I walked across the street because I work out in Canada, and there's a Tim Hortons across the street. And I walked in and showed it to the guy at the counter, and the guy yelled out, "Holy shit!" Which I don't think they're allowed to do. and all sorts of patrons in the restaurant were like coming up to me and asking if they could see it, and some people were trying to like kink it out of my hands and stuff. It was pretty funny.
Wow!
Back, people, back.
So how do you claim that? Do they just have genuine cars in the back or something? Or?
No, you've got to actually, the process is a bit sketchy in that you're supposed to cut the rim out and mail it to a post office box in New Brunswick. The problem with that is the maximum amount of insurance you can get on a piece of mail is $5,000. And this tab was worth $35,000. So I kind of called head office and asked if I could kind of deliver it in person and kind of film like a funny video of me with like a briefcase chained to my wrist and like delivering this tab. And they said, "No, you've got to send it by mail." So I kind of swallowed hard and sent it off, and sure enough, actually, and then the time for the funniest story of all is once they receive the tab, they then have to call you and ask you a skill testing question, because in Canada, in order to win a lottery or whatnot, you've got to answer a skill testing question, and you have to kind of prove that you deserve this by answering a skill testing question. So they called me up and asked me this like simple mathematical question, like 2 - 1 + 6 × 2 type thing. And I'm quite good at math, and this question was not that tough, and I knew the answer. But of course, I stutter when I speak, as you've been able to tell. And so the answer was this number that is impossible for me to say. So I said, oh yeah, no problem. The answer is, yeah. And there is just like dead silence on the phone. And then the lady was like, sir, are you still there? And I had to explain, yes, I have a stutter. It's just going to take me a second. So I basically asked how much time I had. And I said, look, I know the answer is between 7 and 9. The answer is, and then I finally got it. It was 8. As you can see, it's not a very easy number for me to say. But finally, I was able to prove that I earned the car. And so, sure enough, they put me in touch with a Toyota dealer in town, and I got the car.
Wow!
Nice. That's a cool story, actually.
And today I'm driving around with a license plate that says "Roll Up" on it.
Oh, solid!
That's wicked.
That's really good.
So now we've got the playoffs coming up. Any little secrets that you can divulge to us for?
Yes. Well, Sens are going to win. I have not been approached about a new song or anything exciting like that. In fact, I feel like I might have overstayed my welcome at Scotiabank Place, but hopefully I do get a call and get asked to come up with a new song or something like that. But there's nothing in the works right now. Sorry.
Well,
Where can fans go to find some of your other work? Like, is there a website that they can get in contact to find out some of your other works? Because people are probably familiar with Cab City, but the other music that you have out there, where could people find it?
Yeah, exactly. You can either go to YouTube and type in my name, Peter Joint, and that's Joint with a Y, or go to my website, which is thejoint.ca.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Well, Peter, thanks again for joining us. It's neat to get a chance to talk to you, and great story on the Tim Hortons.
Right on.
Pleasure having you on.
Thank you, and go Sens go.
Go Sens go. Take care.
All right.
I'm on the move like the Earth's rotation. Ask me, I'm just a product of my placement. Of city living and a well vision and an education that goes well beyond spitting. And I be coming out the telling, I be coming out my shelling, I be coming out to cast my spell. High school president, Cap City resident. Yeah, speech impediment, now see what you be up against. It's the joint on the rise like the gas price. Half full and I mean only at my half life. We've only just begun to stand on our own. Pick up these microphones and proudly call this city home. And all you gotta do is travel other places. Take a look around and then you bring them back to basics. And basically I've been there and now I'm back with the same old song but a brand new track.
Thanks again for Peter for that interview. Lots of inspirational and interesting stories about how he's got to where he's got to.
You gotta drink more coffee.
Now, we got a bunch of email to get through. Pan, you're up with the first one.
Great. All right, for... Ooh, I'm a little closer to the mic now. From Chuck Prowse. Subject, email the show version 2. He keeps track, Ivan, you don't. Anyway. Hey guys, I was just wondering what you think will happen with when Spezza and Anderson come back from injury. Do you think the team will play better with them in the lineup or rely on them too much and play worse as a result? I personally think that when Andy comes back, it'll be a seamless transition. But when Spezza is back, will be a couple of games where the younger guys have less than stellar performances before the stash can refocus them and get them playing like they are now. Cardinal, you have no idea how good your impression of my friend was there. It actually creeped me out a bit, and it was so bang on. In hindsight, I guess I should have gotten the center ice package. At first, I didn't mind watching the games on First Row Sports, but unfortunately, most of the feeds are the U.S. ones, and commentators are getting on my nerves. I'm sick of them talking about Weirshock, Lerner, and London. Pan's right. Can just loop that up for the intro, please? Anyway, so Pan's right. I get the TSN Jets feed. Although my cable package doesn't have any Sportsnet channels, my grandparents do get Sportsnet Ontario. If I remember correctly, Kingston was a boundary between Sportsnet Ontario and Sportsnet East. In a normal year, I go to about 20 games, or I get about 20 games on TV from TSN, TSN Jets, and CBC combined. Cheers, and Leafs suck, Chuck. Yeah, so going back to your question, what do you guys think? Let's break it up. So what do you think is going to happen when Anderson comes back, then when Spezza comes back?
You first.
Sure. Anderson, I think you're right here where that's going to be a seamless transition.
I think he'll have one bad game probably coming back in.
I don't think it'll be the first one. I think it'll probably be the second or third.
The nice part about it, though, is that less the last trip or the last game that we're playing against pretty bad teams.
We always do well against the bad teams.
I just thought about this, the Tampa game next week.
Mm-hmm.
See Leonard versus Bishop.
Yeah, could be.
That'd be fun. They'll probably do that for their own giggles there too. So Anderson, yeah, that's not a major thing in my opinion. Actually, Cardinal Overtask, you were saying that you weren't really happy with that because that means Leonard's not going to be playing much for the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, it depends. I think when Anderson comes back, he's going to need to play quite a bit, which means Leonard won't play very much. And I think that he's had a much better balance with he and Bishop almost going game for game. Not always. Sometimes it was 2-1 of them before the other one got in. But I think when Anderson comes back, Anderson will probably play 70 to 80%. And I'm not sure how that will affect Leonard because he is a guy who needs to play regularly.
Well, there's 4 weeks left.
There's only 12 games? 13?
Yeah, 12, 13 games. So
yeah.
This season's short. I'd rather just focus on Anderson being ready for the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
And I'm all for that.
Boston again, right? So Leonard always plays Boston.
Well, Boston's the last game of this road trip.
Yeah. Just give it to Leonard.
Yeah.
See, that's a back-to-back, so that'd make perfect sense. For Spezza, So for Spezza, I think it's going to be a little bit different. Man, you just really got hard on him right away there.
I've had this clip. I haven't had a chance to play it all season. He's been injured, so kind of excited.
That's what you're focused on then.
Look at all these buttons over here. I need to push them at times.
I think it's going to be the line juggling. To be honest with you, missing these guys really lets all of these other players kind of know where they stand and they know that they don't have to depend on them.
Yeah.
So is it that they're going to play worse because of their dependence on this on the top guys? I don't think so. I think it's going to be they might not play well because their ice time is going to be messed up a bit, or their lines are going to be mixed up.
Yeah,
this will open up the ice for tourists, though.
I think it will, for sure, for tourists, but I was thinking along the same lines as you as far as, excuse me, all the other players on all the other forwards, where are they going to fit into the lineup when Spezza comes back as opposed to where they are now with so many of them moving around to try and put lines back to what they should have been or what they were at the beginning of the season? I think that could cause an awful lot of havoc just because they may end up with people they haven't been playing with all that much. Or, you know, a guy who has been playing center suddenly finds himself on the wing and has to readjust to playing that particular position. So I agree with you that probably is going to be the bigger problem. Rather than Spezza being back, it's what's the result of him being back.
McLean shuffles the lines a lot, though, so it's not going to be, you know, unheard of.
Hoping that that's going to work okay, and the guys that are going to be impacted with, like, Spezza McCullough coming back are the more veteran guys like Alfredson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Silverberg can play with anyone because if you got McCullough, Spezza, Self, then you got, well, what's his name? Conacher. Conacher. So Conacher, Turris, Alfredson, which I think is a very small line. You got Guy, Zibanejad, Greening. Who else do you have? Smith, Neal, and a spare.
Cowan. Oh, sorry, Condra.
Condra, that's fine. So now you got O'Brien, Regan, which I really don't care about. He's my new Lundin. And Cassian sitting out.
Yeah.
And if you need to, well, you know what? You might have to drop off Condra from the lineup once in a while.
Yeah.
I don't like having the full line sitting each game, but that's just a function of things.
I think I might put Conacher up with Spezza and McCullough. Rather than putting him with Turris and Alfie. But I mean, that's, who knows? Who knows how that's all going to work out? We don't know.
Hmm.
Anyway.
That's lots of opportunities, though.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, having this many bodies around suddenly means that not only is there opportunities, but if somebody else gets hurt, we're not scrambling around looking who's going to play where. Well, they've juggled around all season, so
like waivers doing it again. So it's not like you can send like Cassian down.
Do we have anybody left who's on a two-way?
Conacher?
Leonard.
He's on an entry level, yeah. No, I'm in a forward.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I'm assuming Hoffman got sent down or will be getting sent down.
Oh, Hoffman. Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, he would get sent back down for sure.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway, more to come on that one. We'll see.
I think it'll be much more interesting in the summer to see where they get all these guys to fit.
Actually, Zabinajad could be sent down too. Not that they want to.
I don't think they want to do that.
Well,
I'd rather see Cassian or O'Brien than send someone down like that.
Well, actually, post-trade deadline, can't the rosters be bigger? Or is that just at playoff time? They have to declare a playoff roster, which is bigger.
Well, we were holding three goalies. If you send Hoffman down, were you freed up a spot?
That's true. Good point. Okay, well, we've hashed that one to death. Excellent, excellent email, Chuck. This is what we look for. Things to talk about so we don't have to think about them ahead of time. Next email is from our good friend Gabrielle. Sends Gab in the forums. I have to get my official voice for this one. The purpose of this email is to issue an official statement of retraction for any and all words I've said to suggest that Leaf fans are any less of scumbags than they have been in previous seasons. They're still as unclassy as they have always been, and I was naive to think that they were even capable of being better people. I know that not all Leaf fans fit into my description above, but a majority of them do. Enough for me to make a general statement about their fan base without feeling remorse. Disclaimer, this email is fueled by the rage from tonight's loss and all the chirping I've received / will receive as a result of it. Now, she sent an additional note just afterwards that says, you know what makes us better than Leaf fans? Even though Sens played a terrible game and lost 4-0 to the rival Leafs, Sens fans didn't boo their own team off like Leaf fans would have if it was them. P.S. Pan, if they were Sens fans, a.k.a. you, since you think it's okay, booing our old team at the game, just keep that fact to yourself. Now, I didn't watch the game, but I presume that this is true, that there weren't people, that like they didn't get booed off the ice?
No.
They didn't get booed off the ice because all the Sens fans left and beat the Rush.
Oh, I stayed to the end.
So they would...
Well, I always stay till the end just in the case that things blow up.
Something interesting happens.
I still want to see a line brawl. I really want to see a line brawl.
You do or you do not?
Oh, I do.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't boo their own team. They leave early.
Well, as if Sens fans are going to boo the Sens when all the Leaf fans are in attendance.
They're already booing them. It was an absolute disaster. Yeah.
Didn't have to. If but the thing is,
Toronto played a very strong trap.
They were playing a trap too.
They played real friggin' well. So and Leupel if you're
had
getting
a great game.
Leupel had a great game. Kadri had an incredible game.
Well, Leupel's the one that set up Kadri, or at least two of them. Gifts. Yeah. But anyway.
You got to give him credit. It's not that Ottawa played bad, in my opinion. They just couldn't break through the trap. And when you got a quick 3-0 lead, that's you just shut it down. And I didn't know that Toronto could play defense like that.
Well, it's Randy Carlyle.
Yeah. Well, he's always been in the West, right? I haven't seen
him. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's his gig.
Oh, my God. I didn't know they had the players for this.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it's the kind of thing that you can play with. You know, the trap was instituted by players that was invented by teams that didn't have top line players. Like they designed the trap to nullify the difference or the disparity in talent.
Reimer is not that good. He's not always a sponge like that.
But if you can't get shots at him.
Well, they got shots at him, but he just absorbed everything. Bishop let out the rebounds. Anyways, they're going back to bad memories.
Okay. Well, we'll move along then. Canuck, you're up for the next one.
Email from Boingy.
Oh, nope, you already read that one. Snappy yourself.
What?
No.
We didn't read this one.
Didn't read this one.
Oh, damn. I was hoping I was getting at you to snappy yourself.
Nice try, again. Though. From Boingy. Well, writing this in the wake of two frustrating games. Though as frustrating as the loss to Boston was tonight, it wasn't the egg that the Sens laid on Saturday against the Screaming Trees on national TV. Ugh. The most painful part of that night? Don Cherry's smooch fest with Nazem Kadri. Trust me, gentlemen, the Lord's name was taken in vain several times in my house when I saw that. hey, leave Alfie alone. Credit where credit is due, Kadri had a good night. Maybe he is the real deal. But let's say one of Ottawa's up-and-coming young players, let's say Jakob Silverberg, had scored a hat trick that night. Think he gets up and hugs and smooches from Papa Cherry? Not a freaking chance. I know that Cherry has been sweet on Kadri for a long time, and saying that the Leafs should make better use of him, not keep him parked in the AHL, blah blah blah. But, you know, I don't remember the last time he talked about whether Mika Zibanejad or Robin Lehner should be playing in the AHL, or if they were NHL ready. I'd be surprised if Chera even knows who Zibanejad and Lehner are. And this is not just limited to Don Cherry. Remember last year when Glenn Healy declared that Erik Karlsson was a lousy, overrated defenseman with no real speed? The same Karlsson who went on to win the Norris Trophy? Think this would have been the same conversation had Karlsson worn the blue and white? I won't say that Healy out-homers Cherry, but he comes painfully close sometimes. The usual excuse is that a large population of Canada's population resides in the Greater Toronto Area, which explains the CBC leads with the Leafs so often. What a horse crap argument. I don't care if 99% of the country's population were to suddenly migrate to the GTA. Your national broadcaster should not sound like anyone's fan club. There, rant over. Just a few weeks left, the Sens need to find all the pesky they can. Thanks, and as always, Leafs suck. CBC sucks. Don Cherry, Glenn Healy, Bob Cole, and the rest of those Toronto homers all suck. Cheers, Boingy.
I think he summed up the way an awful lot of us feel.
Yeah, I still can't believe that Healy was giving Kubo all that credit. That's knowing the game.
Was he giving Kubo credit, or was he doing it as a backhanded way to say that Karlsson wasn't worthy of a Norris Trophy? Because that's what he was saying all last year. Oh, he's not good enough to be a Norris Trophy winner. It's just numbers, blah, 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 blah.
And on the whole Kadri kissing, okay, it's not just that he brought Kadri in and kissed him. I mean, Sens were actually looking at Kadri, if you recall, before Toronto drafted him and they picked Cowan. So be it. But the people standing behind him that Cherry also waved in, that was Fraser McLaren and Colton Orr. Like, it's total in-your-face, Ottawa. We're bringing in our guys, our boys, our tough guys. Kadri, you're well protected by these guys. Yeah, yeah. So
didn't Orr just get fed by Cassian, though?
But he stood up and he protected Kadri.
Oh, whatever. Yeah,
whatever.
This is why it's brutal to get embarrassed in the national games.
I was going
to
say, on hockey night in Canada?
Every time. And the thing, I think this is why other people don't like the Sens.
It's exactly, because this is what they see, the Sens. Oh, it's a Sens game. We'll watch this. I don't like Toronto. I'll watch this. Oh, they suck.
Just brutal.
Anyway, who wants to read the next one?
What's the next one?
From Chris?
Chris?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Say, so Chris Gregorio, subject trade day. First off, just wanted to say that I guess that, no. Okay, he's making fun of me. All right, so first off, just, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm not lost in this.
I really cannot read. That's okay. No, I wasn't offering because of that. It's just because he's dissing you, so you shouldn't have to read it. I'm sorry, I didn't notice which one you were offering to read there. I
stumbled through the first sentence. I didn't even make it through. Someone else, go.
Okay. First off, just wanted to say that I guess all of Pan's whispering to Murray for make a move.
Make a move.
He finally gave in.
Just a little one.
There you go. And what a move at that. We all knew that at some point or another, one of the heads of the three-headed goalie monster in Ottawa had to get chopped off. And like it or not, Bishop was the odd man out. Happy in the return we got for him in Conacher, a top-level prospect, as well as a fourth-round pick, for what amounted to a second-round pick. The Sens didn't need to make too many moves this year, considering we're in a rebuild and have little to no need for a rental player. Just wanted to chime in on the surprising moves Murray seems to be making year after year. Happy where this team seems to be headed. And now, Pan and I have a short player to represent the less vertically inclined individuals out there. Welcome to Ottawa, Corey. You should fit in nicely. Go Sens, go! Chris.
Yeah, he still kind of towers over me.
Does he?
Yeah, 3 inches.
Oh. Canuck, you want to read the last one from Rob? I just don't have anything to add to that email. He's right. we the trade seems to have worked out, and we'll see how it goes from there. There's nothing really else to say.
Yep. So we had a late email here from Robert Miller. Hey, call-ups. This is Rob from Connecticut. Been a Sens fan since the Hartford Whalers left in 97. Hated the Bruins then, hate them now. We had the same problem with the Rangers and Bruins that Ottawa has with Montreal and the Laughs. Two questions I hope you'll have time to answer. One, the Sens don't seem to do well against the Northeast. I know this year isn't well for them with injuries, but I don't believe they did well last year, only winning one game against Boston. This year isn't much better, going 5-10 with Buffalo coming up on Friday. What can McLean do to change that? Is it the injuries? Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what he can do. If so, why did the Sens do so poorly against the last place Canadians last year? And second, when I first started following the Sens, I didn't have the luxury we do nowadays with blogs, podcasts, social media, etc. I had the little article in the Hockey News once a week by, I think, Gary Ock, and that took 30 seconds to read through, and the occasional game on ESPN or ESPN2. So I never had the chance to follow the Golden God from his sixth round selection to the status he has now. Do you see anyone in the organization who 10 years from now, when both Alfie and I are 50 years old, watching the team who might become as beloved as he is now? Could Silverberg, Zibad? Or is it just to pick the obvious and say Carlson? Thanks, I have to text my friend in Buffalo on how much the Sabres suck right now and go to work and ask why Boston is full of ex-Sens players. Keep up the good work. That's from Robert in Connecticut. Hey, thanks. Good to hear from you. So what do you think? Sens don't do too well against the Northeast.
Oh, I think every year there's one or two teams in the Northeast that Ottawa doesn't do well against, and there are one or two that they do.
Boston, Toronto.
Well, Toronto last year, we split the series. It was 3-3. Boston.
This year was an embarrassment.
We have Buffalo's number.
We have Buffalo. Everybody has Buffalo's number. But I mean, in seasons past, we've really owned Toronto. So it's cyclical. Some teams just do better. I don't think that they're, I don't know if you can really explain it all that well. It's just one of those things that goes on. And at the end of the year, you can look at the numbers and figure out what they are, but I don't know if you can really plan for it.
No, it's 0-2-2 against Boston.
Yeah. An overtime loss, a shootout loss, and 2-1-goal games.
2-1-goal games. So when you think of it, if you had Anderson or Carlson or Spetzer, all three of them, could one or two of these have gone the other way?
Absolutely.
Then we wouldn't really have this conversation. Yeah. Tim Thomas is gone, which is freaking great because he just kills us all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that for at least the next little while, it's going to be a race to second. Boston's always going to be the leader in the new setup. I like how we stand against Montreal and Toronto.
Glad you do.
The Florida teams, who knows with them, right? Chances are the Cavalier is probably going to get bought out too.
Yeah, could be. But if he gets bought out, he may get re-signed at a lower rate.
I don't know if you can re-sign the player that you buy out with compliance.
You have a 1 year off. You can't do it for the first year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. To avoid that kind of situation.
Granted, don't you think he's going to go to Montreal?
Yeah.
In a friggin' heartbeat.
I don't know.
Ottawa's so close. I don't know. And it's what, four teams that make it?
Well, it's
each conference?
Right, it's eight in the division, but you play your
eight in the conference.
Eight in the conference, but it's not four per division. It's not like it is now. It's just eight per conference. But you're play. Oh,
yeah. But those that make the playoffs, it's four from each, right?
Oh yeah, sure, like the top one plus that whole system is messed up. Yeah.
So can we not beat Florida, Tampa, and Buffalo? At least in the next couple of years.
I think so.
And at that point, Boston's going to have to break their team up.
Yeah, they're going to eventually not be able to afford it, but we'll see.
Horton's going to be gone next year. I think it's Horton, either Horton or Campbell. One of them, they've got to get rid of them. So, who knows? Continuing on with that email, is it just easy to say Carlson for the replacement of Alfie as the leader?
As the loved one, and yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he already is. He's pretty damn popular. For a different reason, though.
Yeah, for a different reason.
Like, different type.
Players like Mathot are sure having a instant, it's just his first year, but instant connection with the community.
Yeah, yep. Very well liked for who he is, not just what he does on the ice. Carlson, I'm not saying Carlson isn't, but...
No, but he's going to be the poster boy of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Silverberg or Zibad, those guys can maybe be... You know what? Silverberg would be kind of like how Spets is now.
Yeah.
Zibad could be kind of like a Mike Fisher.
Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking the Mike Fisher, Chris Neal world. Not for the way he plays, but the way that he's liked.
Yep. And Mathot can be kind of like a Phillips.
Yeah.
So I guess it kind of comes full circle. I hope all these guys stick around for the long term because we can have these really this whole, I was just looking at the defense. If you replace like Gonchar is gone, you can bring Borowiecki back up. When Phillips is done, you've got CeCe ready. That's six guys that are under 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They can run for at least 7 years. With a goalie who's 22 this year.
And this team's going to get really young in a couple of years. I mean, right now, in average age, because, I mean, the average age is skewed right now by Alfie and Gonchar, and to a certain extent, Phillips.
Yeah. They're going to be real good.
And just one last point. Rob said he was going to text his friend in Buffalo about how much the Sabres suck. Thank you, Buffalo Sabres, for breaking the Penguins' win streak last night.
Oh, that was awesome.
Thank you, Buffalo.
They traded away Pominville and what was the other Buffalo trade? Just
Roy.
Roy. No, he that was from Dallas.
Yeah, right.
Regier.
Yeah.
So Pominville and Regier traded away, and then they go out and beat
his team that's
Pittsburgh 4-1. So they may be bad, but...
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think I had to pick my jaw up off the floor after that one. That was astonishing.
Yeah, so did Crosby.
Oy, 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 oy. It is getting late. I just want to quickly talk about Twitter for a second. I know we mention it every week about following us on Twitter, and I have to admit, I find Twitter a lot of fun, and it can certainly be very entertaining at times, but it can also be a little
sometimes
bizarre.
Sometimes they're entertaining, right? Yeah.
Possibly.
Text messages. Put down the phone!
Stop that! Just after, it was the day that Kasper Dagervins was traded away. I tweeted out on the Sense Call-Ups Twitter feed, the team that K-Dog tried the shootout ringette spinorama move against has claimed him. Irony, thy name is NHL. I just threw it out there. And for some bizarre reason, Ringette Canada retweeted that. I guess because I used the word ringette and they were searching for uses of it and they thought that it was unusual. I don't know.
Do you think somebody did that or is that just a bot?
I don't know. I really don't. Because they don't retweet everything that has the word ringette in it. I mean, that Twitter feed's pretty active, but I presumed it was a human. I don't know. I hadn't thought of it as a bot.
Well, thank you, Ringette Canada.
Yeah. Of all the people who were retweeting us, that certainly wasn't the ones I was thinking would happen.
Well, there's some more interesting ones.
However, Pan, I think you had the unusual tweet of the week that had it.
Signed this one because I thought I was going to get in trouble by you guys.
And I actually thought it was pretty funny, but the fact that it got reaction,
yeah,
from the people named in it,
I loved it.
Was gold.
I was just goofing around.
Well,
I don't know what got me going here, but it's just like I really wondered what would happen if Alan Walsh and Gary Ock had a baby. Didn't even meant no hashtags.
Yeah, hashtags, just the names.
Yeah,
and Alan Walsh has us blocked.
His is blocked, yeah.
So we can't actually read his stuff. But the reaction was?
Yeah, you and me both wondering, pal.
From Alan Walsh and from Bruce Garriock.
I can't imagine the thought.
Bizarre.
Now, the thing is, after that tweet, I was making fun of Gary Ock again, so I hope he didn't read that
one.
It
was before, but...
oh, well.
I suddenly have a little bit more respect for the guys for having a sense of humor and saying that.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
They could have ripped us. They could have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was actually going to write another one just to say, it's like, you know what? I think it'll actually turn into Ad Hockey Insider. Then that would have just blown right up. And that's not the first time I make fun of a Hockey Insider, too, and he gets me back.
Yeah.
I love Twitter.
Anyway, I just thought that was one of the funnier exchanges lately. I wasn't expecting two people who weren't hashtagged or anything, one of whom has us blocked, so we can't read his tweets on this call-ups feed, but he still responded. So I don't know how he found it, or somebody must have pointed it out. Or anyway.
Let's see what you will about Gary Ock, but he's one of the most connected media guys for Ottawa.
Oh, yeah. He certainly seems to get around.
He takes out to just kind of have a good chuckle with me.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff. Well done. Anyway. So anybody who's not on Twitter, you should be.
I should just tease people in a fun fashion online, right?
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. You got that recorded. I got in a bit of trouble with the radio. Twice, actually.
Moving on. Moving on. We've got to wrap this up. It's getting late. The coming week, we got a game this Friday. The Senators are at the Sabres. Sunday, the Sens are at the Panthers. Tuesday, the Sens are at the Lightning, which is the game that could end up being Leonard versus Bishop. And next Thursday, the Senators are visiting the Flyers. And this is the night of the planned get-together. So, Pan, you want to cover that again?
Yeah, it's not at my house.
And it's not a toga party.
I still think that was Canuck that messed that around. He's pleading the fifth on it. So whoever changed
it. I'm not pleading the fifth. I'm saying I didn't do it.
Okay, so you're lying. Whoever did that in the forms, I don't know how you did it. That's pretty good. Anyway, so yeah, we're trying to get into Big Rig. Game starts at 7. So let us know either over the forms or Twitter so we can hopefully make some type of reservation, although it's going to be an absolute disaster. Up to now, I know that Senior can't go. And I think Russell might. But who knows what he's kind of answering this in the same way he does the game predictions.
He's being entertaining.
Yeah.
All right.
Hang on a second. Oh. I can tell you how they did it. Somebody else created an account and called themselves Pandemonium, but the real user ID is blank. So it's not your account. Someone just, you know, people years before used to change their names to like be different, something else. So somebody just created an account and called it Pandemonium.
So someone was being very clever. Wasn't me,
but you know how people change it to like.
How did you get that just now?
Because you had me thinking.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, let's wrap it up here, shall we?
Are we going Tuesday? Do we know yet?
We don't know that. We'll have to follow the, whenever this goes out is when people will hear it. So we have to just next week, it may come out on a different day. We don't know. We don't know yet. We'll have to see. Anyway. Thanks to everybody who emailed us, and especially thank you again to CB Inc. for sending us the game summary. If anybody wants to do a game summary, email us and let us know what game you want to do, and then after the game's over, record it and send it to us. We'll certainly appreciate it, because it means we don't have to do the work. We like that.
We don't get
email paid. Us. What's that?
We don't get paid anyways, right? Oh, yeah. Donate! Why don't we just donate? He still has us up here, right?
I don't know if that link's still there or not.
Oh.
That money doesn't go to us.
Send me an email money transfer then. Pan@sendscallups.com. Yeah.
Yeah, donate money. Shredder will think it's a nice gift. It'll be a big surprise. It'll be fun.
It's on the website. So at sendsunderground.com, if you enjoy this. Hey, you know what? If you want to start your own thing, it's free. We got to pay Shredder for his internet stuff. So.
Exactly.
You can email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. We love getting emails every week. Please keep them coming. Visit the forums at sendsunderground.com. Lots of good entertaining game threads going on there, as well as there was a huge thread about trade deadline today. There's information about the get up, the get together there as well. Feel free to drop by and get involved on Twitter. If you're there already, give us a follow. If not,
639 is our account right now. We're growing.
Yeah. If you're not on Twitter, consider getting on Twitter. You don't have to post anything, but it can be entertaining. Just do a lot of reading. Until next week, we don't know exactly when our podcast is going to come out next week, but we'll get something out at some point. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then. Ciao.
See ya.
Oh, for fuck's sake.